Blog Talk Radio.
Let's Talk Truth is designed to shine a light on that part of us that's hidden deep within us, and it stunts our growth. Truth is only truth if it lines up with the Word of God. Otherwise, it's merely our apparently, our apparently, our apparently.
If you really wanna talk, then let's talk truth. Hey. Any situation that you face can be talked through. No problem too big, there's no problem too small at all. Trying to maintain to keep from smashing through a wall. Heavy load up on your shoulders, trying hard not to fall. Situation after situation, throwing curveballs. Got you worried about your job, a word about your kids, a word about your things people said or what they did. Your husband ain't doing right, or maybe it's your wife, 'cause they let the devil step in and creep up in your life. Hey, L-O-I-C-E, come and help us out, please, 'cause we all in desperate need and need to learn to plant our seed. We gotta grow as a people, 'cause wisdom and knowledge is equal, and all we need to learn to do is spread our wings like eagles. Now, let's talk truth, let's talk truth, let's talk truth. Lord, sit down to talk truth, but the rest is on you.
Good evening, everyone. This is Lois Bullock, your host of Let's Talk Truth, and we're here with my co-host, Kay DeWitt, and we have several other people on the line. Also, we have several people here in the studio. We're here this evening for another dynamic show. Prayerfully, it will be informative and thought-provoking. We try not to do shows that are entertaining because we're not in the entertainment business. We're talking about Let's Talk Truth, and we're trying to provoke thoughts in the minds of people that will help us be a better people and to live a better life, learn how to treat each other better. And sometimes it takes the efforts of everyone coming together to make this happen. So today we're talking about the what people do, WWJD. I mean, we hear that. That is, I don't know if it's something that people want to see. And we have bracelets that says WWJD, about necklaces, WWJD, things that will catch the attention of people so that they will ask, what does that mean? And so we out and we said, well, that means what would Jesus do? Now, that is supposed to be an attention grabber. And so if I'm grabbing your attention, obviously I want to make some type of impact on your life or on your way of thinking about things. So this is these initiatives widely used among the Christian community. But guess what? The world laughs in our face. Now, why do they laugh, you may ask? Well, for asking what would Jesus do, a great many Christian leaders do just the opposite of Amen. What Jesus would actually do. And we're talking about the Word of God here. The Word of God gives Christian pastors as well as other leaders a definite foundation. So, as the host and co-host and others here, we're going to try to discuss how people are affected when pastors and leaders in the Christian faith don't reject the WWJD in their day-to-day living. Now, who should know better what would Jesus do than pastors and Christian leaders in the body of Christ? So tonight, we're going to put the word to a test. It says where two of or more of us can touch and agree, we just want to see who's in the midst tonight. So as we go for WWJD, do we really want to know what Jesus would do? So open okay. And anyone else is on the line? I believe you have Barb on the line, and we're so grateful that she's here too, because she has so much to offer. But just, you know, take it up on, this is your time. Start
well,
with your thoughts.
Lois, I mean, in view of all the focus that has been on that tragedy in Sutherland Springs, Texas, I mean, the first thing I think about is how grieved I was when I read a few articles. And I don't know how many Christians would read that and feel the grief that I feel, but I did. And one of the subtitles, and there were many articles, by the way, that included this. The subtitle read, "How do I run him away from my church?"
Oh my
then it
God.
Goes on to say, Kelly, he is the one who was the shooter. Kelly himself had attended the church in the past, but was
mm-hmm.
not welcomed there. Wilson County Sheriff Joe Tackett said, church pastor Frank Pomeroy saw Kelly at church events and described him as, quote, not a good person to be around. He did not think that he was a good person and did not want him around his church. Tackett said of the pastor, but he said, how do I run him away from my church? First of all, the first thing that I saw, good person, we know Jesus said that no one was good. And, you know, and I've said so often, some things I say ad nauseum, it's because they're so important to me. So we've been focusing
mm-hmm.
in on Christ's love, and, of course, that's where it's at for me. So I'll always focus, I guess, in on Christ's love. And, again, it's easy to love somebody who is, and, again, I'll say I hate the word lovable because everybody's worthy of love, but you know what I mean by the world's idea of what's lovable, okay? So it would take the witness of Christ's love to reach out to this man with Christ's love. Now, that doesn't mean that you're not cautious, if you know that he has a violent background. But to have this printed, that he wasn't welcome, and the pastor said, how do I run him from my church? Why not say, how do I embrace him with Christ's love? How do I try and reach this troubled man? Now, his former wife, he was married twice, so there was something in this man that initially drew these two women, said that he was full of hatred, full of demons. Now, I suspect that this pastor never would have dreamed that this man was capable of doing what he would do, or why didn't he have a guard in the front of the church, or why didn't he go to where this man was working? This man worked at a vacation resort where he was around kids. So I suspect that he did not think that he, that he would maybe physically harm his congregation. I don't know if he felt, you know, that he would molest them, whatever. But this grieved me to see this in print. I don't know how many other Christians would be grieved by it, but all I saw is another contradiction to Christ. Love. And who knows why that man went to that church. Maybe he was searching, but certainly if he wasn't welcomed, he felt unwelcomed. So we don't know that he resorted to doing what he did is because he felt hatred from them and wanted to turn around and return hatred with hatred. So what would Jesus do? Certainly wouldn't say, how do I run him from my church? We know it would be, to love him. I am an extremist. I probably mentioned that several times. Either I give everything or I give nothing. I do. So for years, every day, I read the book My Utmost for His Highest by Oswald Chambers. Wonderful, wonderful book. Oswald Chambers was born in 1874, died in 1917, was it? And this man knew the Lord. And, of course, when you ask the question, what would Jesus do, you have to know him to know what he would do. You just don't know about him. Mm-hmm. In other words, yes. Lois, because I've got to know you personally, if somebody asks, if a child was crying, what would Lois do? She'd go up and hug them and tell the child she loves them. So a lot of people, if they don't know Jesus, really wouldn't know what he, you know, what he would do. So I remembered, because I've read this book for so many years, there are statements that I remember. Of course, I don't remember what reading they're in. And I did remember that there was some reading that talked about the love of Christ and loving a criminal. So today I went through all these readings. And then I came upon, in looking for it, I hadn't found it yet, the March 3rd reading that says the unrelieved quest, feed my sheep. Mm-hmm. And I'll read part mm-hmm. of it because I think it relates to what I'm trying to say. This is love in the making. The love of God is unmade. It is God's nature. When we receive mm-hmm. the Holy Spirit, he unites us with God so that his love is manifested in us. Peter realizes yes. now with revelation of the Lord's hurting question that he does love him. Then comes the point. Mm-hmm. Bend it out. Don't testify how much you love me. Don't profess about the marvelous revelation you have had, but feed my sheep. The love of God pays mm-hmm. no attention to the distinctions made by natural individuality. If I love my Lord, I have no business to be guided by natural temperament. There is no release from this commission. Beware of counterfeiting the love of God by working along the line of natural human sympathy, because that will end in blaspheming the love of God. Did this pastor blaspheme the love of God? I don't know. I feel he made a mockery of it. And then I finally found what I was looking for in the June 1st reading, entitled The Staggering Question. And he quotes from Ezekiel, "Son of man, can these bones live?" Can that sinner be turned into a saint? Can that twisted life be put right? I despair of men in the degree in which I have never realized that God has done anything for me. Is my experience such a wonderful realization of God's power and might that I can never despair of anyone I see? When God wants to show you what human nature is like apart from himself, he has to show it in yourself. If the Spirit of God has given you a vision of what you are apart from the grace of God, and he only does it when the Spirit is at work, you know that there is no criminal who is half mm-hmm. so bad actuality as you know yourself to be in possibility. I received that as a confirmation from a man who knew the Lord, knew his love. And that's what I think about now, because I was so affected by this this article about this this pastor who had this attitude toward this man. And who knows, had he reached out to him with Christ's love, that his daughter and the rest of his congregation would still be alive. There was a woman who tried to help this man, and he thanked her. He said, "Thank you for having my back." So, you know, there is a possibility that had he heard, "I love you," you know, with Christ's love, from these people, he may not have wanted to come back and kill them. So,
you know, everything that you said is so absolutely true. And tell me this, we were all born in sin and
yes.
shaped in iniquity. None of us came here knowing how to serve God. We have to be taught through the word of God, how to love God. God handpicked his leaders. I firmly believe that no one that comes across your path in a day's time will accept. I believe every person that you meet by supreme design. And I truly believe that once you meet a person, you either have something to give them or they have something to give you.
Mm.
And knowing that God puts his leaders in such positions, that we are supposed to show people how to love.
Yes.
Not by what I say I am, but the way I walk in my day-to-day life.
Yes.
Should show people that I have the love of God in my heart. I need to show people how to forgive. I need to show people how to, no matter what hits you in the face, how to stand and say, but I love you anyway.
Yes.
Because that's what God does. Now, if you want to know what Jesus does, man was nailed to a cross, whipped up the heel. He was whipped with those cattails. You hit something, hit somebody, and it came skin with it. But while he was dying, he still loved us.
Amen.
And he says to this day, if I be lifted up, I'll draw all men unto me. So this is what we have to keep in mind as leaders. Now, let me tell you something. When a person that's in a leadership position with God does something like that, it hurts me to the core.
So it hurts
and
you.
The reason it hurts me to the core, it makes me look bad. I'm in this position. I'm in a leadership position. I tell people about the goodness of God, and you stand here beside me. You're supposed to be the person that we're holding hands, that we're trying to walk together, that we're trying to show people. If you will just remember, these are God's people. And we all came from somewhere. I mean, I did not wake up just a beautiful Christian. You know, beautiful all the time, but never a Christian at first. Someone had to love me enough to show me God. And I had to want him. I had to want him bad enough that I would let me sell out. Let me get rid of God. Open me up. Take everything out of me that shouldn't be there.
Yes.
Now, once God has emptied that heart of yours, he has to replace it with his love, because if he doesn't, have you ever seen an abandoned piece of property? Maybe there was a tree and they dug it up by the root and they never put anything in there.
Mm.
Every little bit of trash on the street is going to blow in that hole.
Yes.
Well, that's the same way it is with us. Once we have allowed God to cleanse our hearts and, God, take all of this out of me. Well, he has to put something in there. Don't all that filth will fill back up again.
Yes, yes.
I've been doing a little research, and I know people are going to, they have a right to contradict what I say. Doesn't matter. You can have your, say what you want to say. But I believe that God wants us to have the best, but he doesn't want me to have the best at your expense. He doesn't want me to have the best by taking everything you have. And this is why the body of Christ doesn't know now what would Jesus do, because we're so busy doing it for ourselves.
Right.
We don't let Christ in on nothing. I did some research on some of the richest pastors in the world. Sister DeWitt and Sister Barb, what would I possibly do with $1 billion and somebody in my congregation doesn't have anywhere to live, doesn't have transportation, somebody in there, they don't have shoes, they don't have clothes, but I'm sitting on $1 billion. I'm sorry, that is not God.
That's right.
That's not God. And you can tell me all you want to. And first of all, I know people should have nice things. I'm a pastor. I do not need an airplane anywhere. I have a church. Now, we can send the evangelists on these trips. We got more pastors staying in the air than we do in their church. that how can you pastor but you're leaving somebody else? When David, when King David was watching over the sheep, when he was, did he, what if he left and say, okay, come in here and watch these, this flock for me. I've got to go over here. I don't think that's what God needs. So, but we're talking about what would Jesus do? Pastors, I say stay yourself in your pulpit and feed God's sheep. He's got a fivefold ministry. He's got some evangelists that go hit the highways, byways, and hedges and tell people about God, and then they're going to send them to various churches. Go sit under a pastor. All of these, we have our own jobs to do. But pastors now, we're too busy traveling. I'm going and spit across this man's pulpit. You got your own pulpit, you know. So a lot of people may not agree with me, but that's where I stand when it comes to pastors. Stay at your church. Be the sheep. It's going to be people, new people coming every day. Feed them. Keep feeding them. Keep feeding them. Show them that God is love. Put your arms around it. And then I don't need a congregation buying me an airplane. I'm sorry, I'm not. I know people are going to say, oh, she's a hater. No, I'm not. I don't want that. You give me an airplane, I wouldn't know what to do with it. I can't fly it. So these are things that stop us from being able to love like we're supposed to love. We're too busy, you know, being the big shots. We're too busy being way up there. You know, you can't call me. You've got to call me Dr. Somebody. Call me Lois. That's what God calls me.
Amen.
And it's not what you call me. It's who I answer to anyway.
But you see, Lois, and we've said this before, the idea of so many pastors feeding the sheep is going to the Word of God. Of course, it's got to line up with the Word of God and giving a sermon. But it's always about what you can get from the Lord. Even when they talk about victory, that's something you get. They neglect the holiness of God. Yes, God is love, but he's also a holy God. And so there's no holy thunder from the pulpit about hell. The other thing about this incident in Texas, I asked, how many times did this man hear about hell in such a way that would either make him tremble or at least think twice before he decided to shoot? Because more often than not, these people who decide to get involved in a mass shooting wind up dead anyway. So that means at that moment they're heading for heaven or hell.
Yes.
That never deters them. And I look at the pulpit because pastors don't preach about hell. They are so wanting a friendly, friendly church, but
their
I'm forgetting a word.
Their prosperity.
You know, they want to draw people that will hear messages that make them feel good. I mean, who wants to hear about hell or being holy or sin, all right? So therefore, as I've said ad nauseum, all they do is baptize the American dream, which makes selfish, self-centered people in the name of Jesus, and therefore they don't have a clue really as to what it means to love with Christ's love and to continually grow to be one with him. So it's, you know, it's Jesus that through them that people meet. And that's what impacts lives. If you died enough to yourself that Jesus, you know, lives through you, like the Apostle Paul has also said, it's no longer I who lives, but Christ who lives in me. People may not understand it, but they respond to it. And a thought that I just had spontaneously, I hadn't even thought about this, that pastor didn't even think twice about making those statements. even if, let's say, he felt that way, it didn't even occur to him, I guess, that that might not sound very good. He had no qualms about saying that and having that put in print. But I dare say the majority of Christians won't be grieved by that. They don't have a clue, and Christians may have a problem. Do you know that I believe our Lord wept just as hard when Devin Kelly died as those precious children? Because at least they are going to be in eternity in heaven. Devin Kelly will be in eternity, will be in hell for all of eternity. And I believe everyone, God's holiness has got to bring down that judgment, but in the process of it, he weeps. He wept for Devin Kelly. And
I
that same
that.
Love that would not want him or anyone else to go to hell would have been the love that would have at least tried to reach out to him. Did that pastor ever say, I love you? I know you've got problems. You want to talk. You seem angry. You seem upset. Do you know that he went to a festival on I think it was October 31st, Halloween, and they said he just had this stare. Did anyone go to him and say, is there something bothering you?
His people don't
We care. Don't know. I mean, the lives that could have been saved, maybe, if somebody had cared enough to reach out to that man.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway.
You have to care about people. If I see someone that's in distress, you know if somebody's in distress. You know when somebody's going through something. You know, sometimes it might just take somebody to tap their hand and say, you know, are you okay? You know, I love you. I had a girlfriend that she and I went to high school together. She lost her son this past week. And I know it was devastating for her because her son was only 41 years old. He was not sick. He had an asthma attack, and from that asthma attack, he stopped breathing. And I didn't want to call her and, you know, tell her all this. If there's anything you need, let me know. That's, you know, that same ritual every day. So
right,
I waited till just the day before the funeral, and I called her briefly, and she answered the phone, and I said, hi, sweetheart. I said, I'm not going to tell you that I know what you're going through. I don't.
Right.
I said, but I will say, God is the only one that can give you the strength to endure what
Amen.
You're doing.
Amen.
I said, now, if you feel something squeezing you really hard, I said, it's me, and I'm hugging you. So she laughed. And I said, and then if you feel a little wet lips on your cheeks, I'm kissing you. I said, and you have to be really careful. I said, because my kisses are sweet. You may be diabetic after I do it. I said, but I just want you to know that you are loved, and that hug and that kiss is just to strengthen you if you need it. And I said, should you want to hear my beautiful voice later, give me a call. So she laughed. She just really laughed hard. And that's what I wanted her to do. I didn't want to call with that saying, oh, you have my sympathy, my dear.
Right.
That makes it a little bit hard to go on. So then I hung up. We have to really be in the position. God will tell us what that person needs. He will.
Yeah.
You know, there are 9 gifts in the body of Christ, and God put them there. One of those gifts is discerning of spirits.
Yes.
He's never going to let anything come upon you that he doesn't show you in advance. He's going to show you in advance, and when you see it, you need to seek him. Okay, God, what do I do and how do I do it? And I promise you, he will let you know. But we are so caught up in the shoes I'm going to wear to church Sunday, or I've got these $2,000 shoes that I'm going to put on, this dress. I've got to get my nails done. I've got to get my hair done.
Right.
But right. we need to try and do, let our hearts get done first. We're so commercialized. The body of Christ is so commercialized. I don't want, if you don't like my nails, stop looking at them. I'm not, there's so much more I can do with my money. You know, I like to go to the grocery store and I see little kids in there that their mom is saying, no, you can't have that. No, I don't have the money. I don't have that dollar. And if I see them, I will walk up to them and say, I've got a dollar. If it's
That's
okay
it.
If they have, you know. But we can find and make somebody's life better.
And there's
like
such
that.
Joy in that. That's, you know, the joy that people deprive themselves of. It's just so it's so joyful to bless someone,
yes.
you know.
This I left the grocery store one day. There was a little girl in the basket with her dad and mom was pushing her out. And this little girl said, hi. She had to be one or so. She was really small. And I said, hello, sweetheart. And the Holy Spirit spoke to me and said, you know, give her that money. Well, I had my change in my hand, but it was a $5 bill. And I said, God, don't have a dollar. So, you know, like he didn't know that when he told me to do it. Well, I was, you know, it's fine if I can give her a dollar. But that's a baby. She doesn't need five. You know, I'm saying this to myself. And we do argue with God. And, you know, I'm not the only one.
Right.
So the Lord spoke to me again. Give her the money. I said, oh, God, by the time I go back in that store and get changed for this five and then come back out, you know, it's going to be something really wrong. They're going to be gone. And he said, give her the money. So I said, okay. I walked over to the man and woman. They were putting that stuff in the car, and they were pushing the basket in the little basket rack. And the little girl was standing there. And I said, sweetie, I said, let me ask your mom and dad if it's okay if I give you this. And they said, sure. So I gave her the five, and the little girl said, look, Daddy, I have a dollar. The mother said, that's not a dollar, that's five, sweetheart. And the mother immediately started to cry.
Oh, no.
And she said, ma'am, I don't know how you knew the exact amount of money I needed. She said, but I was on my way to my child's school, and I was $5 short of what I had to give for her.
Wow.
I said, well, sweetheart, to God be the glory. I
Amen.
Hugged him, and I went and got in my car, and I repented to God for, you know, arguing with him.
Yes.
But we've got to understand, as children of God, we're children. We should be children. Stop knowing so much. But we know so much. Yes, God. Yeah, you said walk over there. No, I don't want to walk that direction. I want to go over here. And we do that all the time. But yet we sit and ask, what would Jesus do? Number one, he would obey God the Father. And we need to obey him. And I'm so sorry that people go through what they go through because we're in the body of Christ, God makes all people. They all have a soul. Now, they may not be living for the Lord, but they still have a soul. And it's up to us to entreat them as if they have a soul. It's up, you know, that's God's job to give the increase in to see who comes out of it. It's just our job to obey, to be a vessel, for him to use us. Do you agree?
Yes, amen, 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 Lois. I just, you know, what is so tragic, and I don't know if it's going to change, is that, and again, this is, I guess, one of the things I say ad nauseum, we've not impacted our world. We have not, and I don't know if it's too late for that. I mean, and I knew this was going to happen. The Sandy Hook people and those with gun control immediately jumped on this shooting, and there was a congressman who walked out of the moment of silence, and this is the attitude. If that would help, this, you know, this wouldn't have happened in a church, and so it's time to start doing something, meaning gun control. And in answer to them saying it's a crisis in violence, the Congress has to act, I say it's a crisis in anger, Christians have to act. So here, of course,
yes,
in their spiritual darkness, they saw, you know, faith in God or Jesus obviously not being the answer, or this tragedy wouldn't have happened in a church. Blind to the fact that, yes, we serve a loving God, but we also serve a holy God, and he brings down judgment. He is judging his very churches because they have made such a mockery of his love, who he is, what our purpose in life is. It's not to get rich. It's not to enjoy the good life. It's to give witness to his abundant life, which is the only life worth having anyway. He says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and all these other things, and it will. He honors that. If you seek him first, all your basic necessities will be filled. And I, you know, I've witnessed that. I mean, I live on $735 a month and want for nothing. And so, you know, he does honor his promises. And what somebody needed to tell this man, whatever he's going, our Lord said, my grace is sufficient for thee.
There's
not sufficient for most of life's circumstances, but for all of life's, whatever it is, whatever it is, his grace is sufficient. Does that mean we're not going to hurt? No. Sometimes it's just enough strength to hang on to the course, but we can make it. We can make it.
Yes, we can.
That would be absolutely foreign to this man. I don't know if he ever heard a sermon about it, but he certainly never heard it, you know, saw it witnessed. So, and tragically, I'm afraid we're going to see more and more of these mass shootings. And it is time for Christians to start doing something, even if it's just some little thing, to start making a difference, even if it's in the life of one soul. And it could be somebody like Devin Kelly. So when, by reaching one soul, you don't know how many lives you are saving.
Yes. You know, what really amazed, something that really amazed me was the fact that a lot of these preachers have a gimmick. A lot of these pastors, they have a gimmick. They know when to incite, and, you know, when to incite a person. Okay, this lady over here, she's going to shout. Now, when she starts to shout, you bring that organ player, you play that organ so that'll go to the beat of her feet, and then that's going to enhance to make the other people shout. And then it's just a gimmick, all of this. And God told me that it was 13 people in here who was going to give me $1,000 today. And, you know, let me tell you something, young lady, God is going to do so-and-so for you, and if you'll just give me $19.95, I'll make sure it happens.
And they buy it.
Yes.
But that's it. We have no discernment. That's another thing. We have no discernment. They have seen scandal after scandal after scandal, and they will still buy the lie. And I don't know if Christians raise a voice against it, but I mentioned it before. The fact that Popoff is still on TV. I couldn't believe that. I have antenna TV. I don't have cable TV. But he's on one of my antenna TV stations. I couldn't believe it.
He's still on TV.
And so can we make a difference? Can our voice, I mean, if we cared enough, could Christians make a difference in keeping this man off of TV? I don't know.
And you know, there's this one ministry that I know has a pretty large church. He's a great orator. And he will take one verse in the Bible, and he's such a great orator, he will say this verse to you at least 20 times differently. And people just falling out because he is the way he speaks. And he will say, he did a whole sermon on a fly that flew in his green BMW. And, I mean, when church was over, people were just, oh, my God, he preached a good message.
I know.
What did he preach? I don't know what he preached about, but girl, it was good.
I know.
We've got to be able to listen to the word of God and allow God, give God the space to give the increase to that word as it falls on our ears. So it's a really something that we need to take seriously. What would Jesus do? What would Jesus do? I tremble sometimes, and you know I don't have a huge congregation, but I tell you one thing: what I do say, I try to make sure that that's God saying. I don't want to tell anybody anything, and I'm not a prosperity preacher. I'm not going to tell you that you're fixing to get a brand new car and a new house or whatever. That's, you know, that's God's business in life. What I will say is God wants us to learn how to treat one another.
But you see, Lois, yes, people do follow their leaders if they don't have any discernment. Somebody once said he who inspires others must himself glow. To get people to hunger and thirst for Christ himself, you've got to have a pastor who himself wants that and has passion for that. If you have a pastor who really is hungering after the things of the world, his sermons are going to be filled with that, and that's going to feed in to people who are also hungering and thirsting after the things of the world, whether it's the right mate or a better job or whatever, you know. And if they're told, you know, when you're a king's kid, you're going to get this. Well, therein is the so-called happiness, and hearing that word, you know, the service before that horrible tragedy. One of the songs that the congregation was singing is "Happiness is the Lord." Now, I have a problem with that. I guess one could say that, but you see, happiness is different than joy. Happiness usually depends on happenings, where the joy of the Lord, being a fruit of the Spirit, does not depend on happenings,
right,
or your circumstances, which is why,
mm-hmm,
you can know the joy of the Lord when there's a tear in your heart. That's foreign to so many. They go to get their Holy Ghost goosebumps, and man, it feels good, and they jump high, thinking that that's the joy of the Lord. That's no more the joy of the Lord than that's total emotionalism. Because I say it's only to the degree that you know the agony of the Lord that you can know the joy of the Lord. That's foreign to Christians. Agony? You got to be kidding me. Suffer? You got to be kidding me. You know? And, of course, down the road, that's where they're dislocated. Satan doesn't care how high you jump, how loud you shout hallelujah. He just cares that you're deceived and that down the road you turn away because the things that you were told that Jesus will do for you, he doesn't do. Of course, Jesus never promised. He never promised us a rose garden.
Mm-hmm.
But it's so pervasive through Christendom, so pervasive that I don't know. It is so grievous to me. It's just grievous.
Yeah, well, you know that we've got to get a handle on where we're supposed to be. You know, we've got to be able to stand in a place and know that this is where God wants me to be. I have to be here. I have to endure this. I have to go through these things because I promise you, if you endure hardness, the Bible says endure hardness as a good soldier. Try enduring it in a place that God didn't put you. You're never going to reap the rewards for it.
That's right, Lois. That's absolutely right. And then it takes a while. You know, I say the spiritual journey is a series of Garden of Gethsemane's followed by Resurrection Sundays, okay? You cannot live in resurrection power 24/7 in terms of feeling God. So this is what I believe. And when you're in the garden, everything within you in your flesh just wants out. And this is why Christians lose the victory, because they will not sit in the garden. Faith comes, even though my flesh wants out, I know that Resurrection Sunday will follow this garden. And without a doubt, it always does. And when you go through enough of those cycles, and you do see that every single garden experience is followed by Resurrection Sunday, then it gets easier and easier when you sit in your garden to know that there is going to be a Resurrection Sunday. But when it comes, the Shekinah glory is something so magnificent that one should weep of the number of souls that have lived and died and never known that Shekinah glory. And when you do, that's when you go, it's worth it. It's worth it. It's worth it. Knowing him, dying to self, having him live, it's worth it. So again, the more we become one with him, the more it's worth sitting in that garden, even though the flesh never says, praise God, I'm suffering. Oh, no, the flesh will always have a little temper tantrum. But you let it have it. It's temple. So go ahead, have your little temper tantrum, but it can't control. And that's the whammy. It cannot control you, because we, by an act of our will, can obey God. We do not have to obey or listen to the tantrums of the flesh. And how many evangelists have lost so much because they catered to the temptations of the flesh? The list of our superstar evangelists who were guilty of that is endless.
I tell people all the time that when you go through a stage of suffering, and just when God gets ready to bring you out and put you up on the mountain for a little while, Satan is going to come. Your adversary is going to come with something else to make you rush and get out, you know, and stop you from receiving the full, everything in its fullness. And you got to go right back to that position because you didn't learn in there. You bailed yourself out. You know, I'm guilty of that. I was married, and my husband left me for another woman. And I didn't know why I said this at the time, because I was not in Christ. But I said, God, don't let me treat all men based on this one man.
Yes, amen.
How he treated me. Now, to think about, I was living in Dallas, Texas. Things weren't going my way then. I was down, just beat down. So I decided I'm going to move to a whole new city. So I moved to West Texas because I had a sister out there. Well, I stayed there for a little while until things didn't go the way I thought they ought to go there. I moved back to Dallas. And I stayed there for a little while, and then I moved back to West Texas. Well, the last time I got ready, I moved back to Dallas. I made up in my mind because let me tell you what God said to me. He said, have you noticed everywhere you go, you have the same problem? He said, because everywhere you go, you take yourself with you.
Yes.
So, listen, I made up in my mind the last time I came, moved to Dallas, back to Dallas. I said, I don't care come hell or high water. I'm not moving anymore. I said, I'm going to stand here in this position. I'm going to stand here in this place, God, until you move me. I will not move myself anymore. And you know what? I haven't moved.
Yeah.
And God has been awfully good to me.
Amen.
But that's what we have to make up in our mind as God's leaders. You can't pull yourself out of a situation. You have to endure it.
Yes.
And guess what? That endurance lets God know. Oh, she trusts me. She's going to stand there because she trusts me. I tell people all the time, I don't care if the trees and the ground is separating outside. If God told you to stand on that little rock out there, you go out there and stand. And I grant you, all of that's falling all around you, it will never consume you.
That's right. Yeah.
But it's when we try to move ourselves and try to put ourselves, because I'm tired of, my flesh is tired of being used. I'm so tired of being going through what I'm going through.
Yes.
Don't you know God had to hang on that cross till it was time to come off?
Yes.
So this is what we have to do. You know, we've got to go through our little suffering to grow. To grow. And this is something that as God's leaders, his pastors and his evangelists and his teachers and his prophets, and we've got to endure until God says enough.
And part of that, again, is to instill in the congregation what the purpose of our lives is. You know,
yes.
It is to be conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. It is to become one with him and to care more about the day you meet him face to face, to live for the day that he says, well done, my good and faithful servant. If you don't have that, it's so hard to endure because you see no purpose to it. So if you would rather be conformed to the image of Jesus Christ, if you'd rather hear, well done, my good and faithful servant, then, you know, if somebody's rejected you, that becomes less important. You don't quickly look for somebody else because you so need, you know, that relationship. But, Lois, without that, and again, these sermons that pastors preach are counterproductive to that. They keep their eyes on what feels good. Well, you know, it doesn't feel good to be rejected. It doesn't feel good to be alone. So you start looking for, you know, another mate or whatever because you have not gotten to the point where, first and foremost, you want to be conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. You want to become one with him. And the way that happens is when he takes everyone out of your life. How often I've said, you know, while I've hungered for normal family life or a mate or whatever, in retrospect, I say, well, thank God I never got it because he's had to be one, two, first, second, third, fourth, and fifth, and now what I have, I wouldn't trade for anything. For
anything.
And I mean that with my heart. And even though I certainly, and of course, you know how I feel that you're a blessing to be a part of a team or even have maybe somebody by my side, a mate, whatever. But it's always not if in any way it makes you less important or I want your perfect will, whatever your, to fulfill your will for my life, that's what I want first and foremost. And when you can say that and mean that, then the things that you suffer along the way are not devastating. They don't devastate you. They don't depress you. Yes, they hurt, but they don't control you.
That's right.
You know,
that's
and
right.
Again, and that's, again, that's the, you know, the fact that Christians don't know that is also attributed to the sermons they listen to. And what's their idea? Mm-hmm. You know, I reread this because I have this thing. I'm so, God forgive me, I'm so sick of hearing about, you know, I go to church to, you know, to be fed, meaning to hear the word of God. That is feeding, but it goes beyond that. It goes beyond that because this pastor can tell you all about Jesus and not give you an inkling of really knowing him personally. You know what I'm saying? And so this, you know, this reading about the feeding of his sheep is loving them, giving them Christ, giving them what you've said so often, giving them Christ's love, showing them who Christ is, wanting them to be like Christ, not giving them more biblical knowledge because they can sit, you know, at home and know that. That kind of thing is also foreign to so many people. Anyway.
You're absolutely right.
I mean, why isn't there a modern Oswald Chambers? You know, it's just, that man had more understanding who Christ was, how he works, what it's about, you know, over 100 years ago than a modern Christendom.
Oh, yeah, we've allowed the body of Christ to be changed into a business. It's a business now. It's a showroom. It's a entertainment center. It's just like going to a show on Broadway.
Yes.
You know, we go to outdress each other. We go.
And Lloyd, that's also the reason why. And I know my sister has felt this as a single person. I certainly do. Singles are not included. You know, that's why.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they don't make sure that no person in that congregation spends a holiday alone.
Mm-hmm.
It's the end product of, you know, what we've just been talking about. If it was true that there was closer than the brother and the love of Christ was flowing through the congregation, that would be important, that, you know, people
mm-hmm.
who are alone, don't spend the holidays alone, are included. But it's not, because it's just not a priority. There's just
that's
certain
right.
things the love of God does. You know, it's like you cannot be filled with the love of God and not reach out. It's impossible because it can't contain itself.
Exactly.
So,
you have to. We have people who spend a day after day after day alone. And you does your pastor ever come visit you? Does somebody in the church, you know, out of all the committees, that you have going on in the church, does somebody come out and sit down and talk to you? You know, it's some people that never see anybody on a daily basis.
That's right, Joyce. That's right.
Nobody ever tells them, you know, hey, you're important. You know, God loves you. Why he's thinking about you. You know, we've got to start doing better. Because if we're going to wear our little bracelet with the WWJD on it, we've got to start doing what Jesus would do. And he told us, you know, visit the sick, the widows, the orphans. Stop letting people suffer. Stop letting people go and do everything
by themselves. And Lloyd, for each one of us, we can't look at the whole picture. If we look at the whole picture, it looks so dark, so desperate. We have to believe, you know, that one soul that we give us or reach out to, that makes a difference. And if you're living to please the Lord, then that pleases him. He's not into numbers.
Mm-hmm.
Go out of your way and make a difference to one soul. There's joy in that. And so we must, you know, we must be motivated to do that and not just feel, oh, it's hopeless because, you know, Christendom is such a contradiction. No, 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 no. You have to, we individually have to try and make as much of a difference as we can. And to say it again, we never know that maybe somebody that we love to Christ would have been a potential Devin Kelly and the lives that were saved just because we cared enough to reach out with Christ's
yes.
love. Or and another potential Billy Graham, winning a potential Billy Graham who will lead, you know, thousands to the Lord.
That's right. Listen, we're about out of time.
Okay.
And I want to say this, that I have thoroughly enjoyed what we've heard. And what I want to say is, even though it looks dark out there for the body of Christ right now, I promise you, by faith, there is a light at the end of the tunnel, and that
yes.
light is not a train. That is God. He is that light. So
Amen.
We need to embrace it and actually start living to do the things that Jesus would do.
Amen.
What would Jesus do?
Amen.
So we're going to do that. I want to say that I love all of you that's been on the line. Some of you didn't talk, but I love you anyway. And you're just going to have to, you know, start speaking up, saying, you know, it's, I don't care if you tell me, say, I wish my host would be quiet so I could talk. You know, I'm just going to say, okay, I'll be quiet. Okay,
me too.
So anyway, I love you. And we will be back here next Tuesday night with another subject, hopefully something that will be thought-provoking and loving from right straight from the heart of the Lord. And I want to say to all of you in the studio, thank you all for making this possible. And for those of you, to my co-host, Kay, I love you. And I love you too, Barb. And I want you to start talking and speaking up, because we need to hear from you too. You have so much to offer. And I really need to hear from you, and not only me, but people that will listen later on will need to hear what you have to say, because it's very valuable. And I want to say this, that I'm Lois Bullock. I'm the host of Let's Talk Truth. And guess what, you guys? I'm loving you with the heart of God. Good night.
Good night. Good night.